Welcome to the Introvert 360 Podcast.
Each episode, your distinguished hosts, Carrie and Rebecca, will analyze the extrovert's hidden agenda and how introversion can affect one's life experiences.
I have cats.
And how is that related?
Fine. Maybe we'll just talk about creative careers, workplace culture, and cake.
But introverts really need to know about the hidden agenda of extroverts.
Get over it. Anyway, get ready to put on your introvert colored glasses.
What color are introvert colored glasses?
Rainbow? Unicorn?
Unicorn isn't a color.
That's what the extroverts want you to think. So, last month we talked about introvert writers who are also feelers. Now we get to talk about introvert writers who fall on the thinking side of the spectrum. I feel kind of bad. Last month, Carrie rushed, maybe even gushed in, all excited to talk about her favorite author, Maggie S. Something, Stevia Salamander Stomach Aches. Okay, I guess she knows I'm here. Anyways, I spent the last month racking my brain for someone I could enthuse over like Carrie did. But I realized that I'm not much of a gusher, except for that time when I knocked a hole in my head.
Ew.
But perhaps that's not surprising. As an INTJ, I am more of a thinker than a feeler. You know, half robot, all that.
So who did you pick to talk about?
I decided to talk about robots.
Okay, last week it was your cats, and this week it's robots. I mean, when is it my dog's turn in the spotlight? Last week, after your insistence on typing your cat, I decided to type one of my dogs, Jaquino. Turns out he's an ESTP, which isn't really a surprise considering that I caught him trying to catapult himself off a half wall ledge the other day.
Yeah, I was actually just going to talk about Isaac Asimov, an INTJ writer well known to science fiction. He developed the three laws of robotics way back in 1942. Besides Asimov, INTJ writers include Jane Austen, C.S. Lewis, Emily Bronte, Ayn Rand, Lewis Carroll, Friedrich Nietzsche, Stephen Hawking, and Karl Marx.
Wow, those writers are kind of all over the place. Unlike when we talked about INFJ writers, I kind of felt like I had read all of them. But in this case, in that list that you just read, I really haven't read anything by any of those people. Now, I've seen some movies based on their work. Have you read any of their work? Do you see any similarities in what and how they write?
I mean, I think it really boils down to that they're idea people driven by the ideas of possibilities. They like to integrate the theoretical with the practical and focus intensely on a narrow topic. These are folks who question reality and the nature of human existence, tapping into topics such as science and faith. A lot of times, INTJs manifest these ideas through a career in the sciences.
I guess I never really thought science was very creative, except for the problem-solving part, of course. But that's kind of a different creativity.
Oh, you know, I always like to think that there's such a fine line between science and creativity.
How so?
Well, they both involve a goal, a hypothesis, and a bunch of experimentation in order to achieve the intended result. Say, I want to get a sock-hating character to pull on a pair of knee-highs by the end of the story. What are the external and internal factors that I need to throw into the mix to get him there? Does he wear the socks as a tribute to his dead dog who loved to chew on socks? Is it because he entered and won a pair of Jigglypuff socks after cosplaying as Bulbasaur? Before I write, I think about all the internal and external factors within the sphere of that character and determine what makes the most sense for the character and the goals for my story. But maybe that's just how I write.
Wow, can you just write the plot for my books and then I'll just write the book later? No, never mind. So it seems like what you're saying or implying is that many INTJ writers are curious about possibilities, but they also have little regard for convention.
You know, if they're anything like me, they just want to skip the conventions. And completely. There's too much rolling about and talking to random strangers.
Okay, but you're good at it.
For the last time, I'm terrible at networking.
Not.
Anyways, getting us back on track, I read that INTJs like to envision the conclusion before they begin writing, which is funny because I basically said the same thing to you not that long ago, that I want to start with a killer first line and then know the twist, the aha moment, and the conclusion before I start. If I don't have those things, I'm not convinced that I have a story. You know, I also try to write very sparsely through the first draft so that I can connect the beginning to the end. And when I'm writing blogs for companies, that I tend to work very similarly. I plug in content until I know the arc of what I'm trying to write about.
So what you're saying is that INTJs are plotters. I can totally see that about you.
No, I'm not a plotter. I'm a planster.
A planster? What?
Okay, I don't remember the actual term, but I tend to be a panster until I get stuck. Then I go back and create an outline that will get me to the next known story milestone.
I think you're still a plotter. You can't fool me. Besides, plantsing sounds like you go wandering through your neighborhood looking for plants to steal.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a gorgeous day.
To steal plants. Won't you steal plants? Won't you steal plants with me?
Great. Sorry. Perfect. You should do a duet with Tom Hanks.
Ooh, nice.
For the new movie.
Okay. So on this online writer forum, I asked introvert writers about their writing process. I think I mentioned that last time. Most of the responses, besides those raining down hate on the MBTI,
losers,
were INTJs, which has me wondering if answering questions in online writing communities is specifically appealing to INTJs.
Well, you like to know things, or like you like to be the mastermind and know all the things, but unlike all those INFJs who said nothing, leaving me to flounder around here on this podcast by myself.
Just keep swimming, little fishy.
What?
Never mind. So for INTJs, knowing the end seems to be an important aspect, and the process of layering, writing sparsely and then filling in on future revisions seem to resonate pretty much across the board. And the planster thing does appear to be shared by some of my fellow INTJ writers.
They call themselves planters?
I do not know the day-to-day thinkings and speakings of these writers. It was just a forum response. Jeez. Anywho, one INTJ female claiming to be a half panster and half planner said, quote, I usually come up with a character and a situation first, then flesh it out. If it's interesting enough to stay in my head for a month or six, then I might work on it. I plot out my plot line, which can change several times, and pants the characters as we go. I'm sorry, this sounds so funny.
Sounds like, okay.
Okay, adding new layers. World building is also kind of a panster thing. I set up broad strokes and keep adding details as they come up or as I need to define them. End quote.
Wow.
An INTJ male who focuses on short story describes his preparedness as, I'm not quite a panster. I guess my pants are half on when I start the story. I need an opening and I need an ending. The rest takes care of itself. He also notes that he needs a definite voice and an atmosphere.
I'm sorry. We're talking a lot about pants beater, but he said what?
Like Karate Kid, pants on, pants off.
You know, when I was a teenager, I had a poster of Ralph Macchio on my wall from Teen Magazine.
Ooh la la, pants on, pants off.
He was wearing pants.
But okay, like I believe you. But
totally. Teen Magazine, he was wearing pants.
Teen Manatee.
Maybe the first button was unbuttoned, but he was still wearing pants.
Teen Magazine NC-17.
I don't think they have that version.
Oh, well, maybe they didn't where you lived.
Oh, okay. Lord. Okay, this is getting off track.
You can cut all of this out, but you probably won't. All right, but this half-on, half-off planting thing is not consistent across all INTJs. Some of the INTJ writers say they need really solid outlines, chapter by chapter, character by character. Many folks feel it's important to be super prepared. One INTJ said that the idea of pantsing would give him heart palpitations.
Ralph Macchio gave me heart palpitations. You know, I was going to meet him. We were going to marry and have all sorts of karate kids.
Pants on. Pants on.
I left that wide open for you. I can't even believe it.
Yes, but you know, I never actually crushed on famous people. Like,
how is that not? How is it? You were a teenage girl, right? Come on.
I was a teenage INTJ. But I did one time write a letter to Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Only to see if he would write me back.
Well, did he?
I just got a form letter. I think my sob story wasn't sad enough.
You're a writer, for God's sake.
I know. I figured out this is my, like, one of my early failures. I couldn't do the persuasion very well. This is why I didn't end up in sales, I guess. So buy me. But I did take a look at that site that highlighted pantsing versus plotting according to MBTI type. And it turns out that INTJs are more likely to be plotters than pantsers. Oh, and I do have the number. 65% plotters versus 35% pantsers.
Wow.
Actually, it's really interesting because according to a book called Touched with Fire, Manic Depressive Illness and the Artistic Temperament, INTJs that are stronger on the thinking and judging perspective have a need for planning in order to undertake activities. I think the takeaway here is that I need to be smarter and more judgy to be a true INTJ.
More judgy? How is that even possible?
I haven't said anything about those shoes, have I?
What's wrong with my shoes?
Anyway, some things to keep in mind if you are an INTJ writer. Number one, don't be too concise. Some of what we may consider fluff might be necessary to connect with our audiences. Number two, as an original thinker, you may want to add your opinions to everything you write. For personal writing, this is great. In a professional capacity, it's probably a good idea to stick to the facts. I know this all too well. Number three, know when to settle for good enough. I thought this piece of advice was interesting as I'm not a perfectionist. I have high standards, but I'd rather move on than compulsively rework something. I mean, I have backlogs of things to write, so I'm happy to settle for 98.7%.
98.7%, huh?
I know, such a low bar.
Seriously. Expected more from you.
I know.
All right, on to the next category. The ISTJs. ISTJs are very pragmatic and logical, and they exhibit a high level of personal responsibility. ISTJ writers include Thomas Hobbes, who is one of the founders of political philosophy, Sigmund Freud, we all know him, Martin Heidegger, another philosopher, and Xenophon. I think that you add these names just for the fun of it. Xenophon, the ancient Greek philosopher, historian, soldier, mercenary, and student of Socrates, and, thank God, a name I can pronounce, Warren Buffett.
You know, I do Google, like, what are the most difficult names to pronounce?
I'm sure that you do.
Yes. And sometimes I just bang my fingers on the keyboard.
Perfect.
Okay, but Warren Buffett?
No. Warren Buffett. I do know how to say that.
Okay, Warren Buffett. I mean, do I need to get us some pina coladas here?
Warren Buffett, not Jimmy Buffett.
They are the same man to me. They really are.
Oh, come on. Warren Buffett is a business magnate, investor, and philanthropist who's also authored Invest Like a Billionaire and The Essays of Warren Buffett, Lessons for Corporate America. How can you compare him to Jimmy Buffett?
Are you saying that Warren doesn't like pina coladas?
Anyway, I think the takeaway here is that ISTJs are prone to write about theories, politics, business, and other nonfiction topics. These are people that really like to write about demonstrable facts. Most ISTJ writers followed an established approach, a template, if you will. In terms of pantsing versus plotting, pantsing actually rules the day for them, 61% right off the top of their head. And because they tend to do a lot of pre-writing in their heads, they're done pretty quickly when they actually put fingers to keyboard.
That totally reflects what I think about the Inspector MBTI type.
Writing efficiency?
No, mostly pina coladas.
Gonna ignore that.
Anyway, I did get input from an ISTJ writer on that same writing community. I was especially excited for his input as he represents a fiction writing ISTJ. The guy typically writes fantasy, but he says he's more interested in ideas than people. Quote, I like toying and working with the bigger picture rather than zooming in on too much of the individual. And therefore, most of my characters tend to be cogs in an expansive machine. End quote. Interestingly, this guy is very into pre-planning. He says, quote, I need a well-developed and well-thought-out plan. This can range from a page maximum for short stories to 30,000 words worth of world building, plot, character, backgrounds, and so forth, unquote.
Wow, that seems thorough even by my standards.
Yeah, he says this is the way to make sure that his stories don't diverge from the main goal. In another insight, he says that collaborations are very difficult for him. And throughout this quote, quote, my observation is that when one person is found adequate to the discharge of a duty, it is worse executed by two persons and scarcely done at all if three or more are employed therein, unquote. For him, the big issue is working with people who make decisions based on what feels right versus what makes more sense. All right, INFJ Carrie, do you have anything to say about this?
Well, I feel judged and I might need some cake.
Well, then you'll like this.
Oh, God.
He also hates it when main characters or secondary characters have to be involved in a relationship by the end. He says, quote, nothing worse than forced romance. Ugh, unquote. Carrie, I think he might have personally insulted you.
All right. I have so many thoughts because this person, seriously. But I'm going to take his point. Even though it stings a little bit. But he's right in that basically forced anything in writing super sucks. Some would say that characters who read like cogs in a bigger machine often feel like the plot ends up feeling quote-unquote forced. So, sorry. That was just very INFJ of me.
All right. As far as tips for ISTJ writers, for those trying to engage a wider audience, try to balance statistics or technical information with real-world examples. Consider what the unifying concept is and think about what information is valuable to the audience.
Yeah, like some readers like it when everyone ends up in a relationship by the end of the story.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yay! Oh, wait, no.
Either one works. Another tip for ISTJs is to be open to revision and feedback. It's a great opportunity to ensure that your message finds the right footing.
You know, a classic meet cute is when a girl loses her footing and falls into a boy.
Wouldn't want that to happen.
So good.
Anyway, it looks like the INTPs are next. It's another good list. In a lot of ways, the folks on this list are similar to the INTJs. A lot of logical, analytical, nature-loving skeptics putting forth ideas to dismantle popular beliefs. These are not folks who try to be nice or kind or gentle.
All right, what do you mean?
Well, you got Charles Darwin, you got Henry David Thoreau, you got Richard Dawkins, who has been called the most famous atheist in the world. Then there's Thomas Aquinas, Immanuel Kant, John Locke, Hannah Arendt, Rene Descartes, who were all philosophers and writers. And then you also have Albert Einstein, Bill Gates.
Wait, most of those people aren't even people I would define as authors. More like they wrote as a means to document their work. You know, like Bill Gates and Einstein and, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay, a more contemporary INTP is John le Carré. He's a British author who wrote dozens of books, many of which turned into movies. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, The Spy Who Came in from the Cold, A Perfect Spy, A Constant Gardener, The Night Manager. What, no quip about seeing one of those movies?
I haven't seen any of them, but that's probably because there's not enough romance or teenage angst. It's my guess.
Good guess. Too many spies, not enough kissing in the corner and Shakey's pizza.
Twilight.
Yeah. No quoted Twilight. Anyways, I guess what ties these writers together is that they are trying to make sense of the world and organize ideas into a logical system. And if things don't make sense, INTP writers are keen to challenge them. As the above list attests, INTPs are often more drawn to research theories and, as a result, write nonfiction. INTPs are great at simplifying the complex.
Ugh, so I clearly need to expand my reading circle. I mean, it sounds kind of cool. I could probably learn something from these people since simplifying my thoughts is really hard for me.
You're just spending too much time watching Twilight. Anyway, so on this writing forum, there was an INTP who chimed in on the forum. He said that he thinks creative writing can be hard for INTPs as, quote, they view the world in a somewhat cold and analytical way that's antithetical to average people, unquote. He said that, quote, even now, I feel a lot of stories don't work for me because I see little evidence for the core idea behind them, that life is pattern, i.e. it has meaning, unquote. He tends to write sci-fi. An INTP female on the forum said that she was mostly a panster. She needs a goal for her characters to work towards, and then she's off. She says, quote, I get inspiration to one scene, and there's usually one or several scenes that follow as logical conclusions to that first one, end quote. Her preferred genres are fantasy and sci-fi, and barely is her writing contained to one novel. In most cases, a single novel is likely to become a trilogy or, you know, on and on and on.
You know, someone else answered one of the questions that you posted on Quora. And they were an INTP, and they said that he had no problem creating detailed and extremely logical plots, but that when they were finished, that he wasn't inspired to write them. So basically, he said he gets around this by creating an abstract per scene, and then when he's that far, it's no big deal to mindlessly fill in the details. So it seems like there's a mix of pantsters and plotters in there.
Yeah, but it sounds like they definitely lean towards pants off. According to that site, 80% of INTPs are pantsters and 20% are plotters.
You said pants off.
Anyway, as far as things for INTPs to keep in mind, making sure your ideas are simple enough is a big one. Another one is that INTPs often treat writing as a quest for knowledge, and when they figure things out or struggle to make their ideas heard, they just move on.
So for INTPs, the end goal is knowledge and writing is a way to get there.
Yeah, and also to make their ideas heard. Remember, INTPs are people who want to bring about social, political, or ideological changes.
You know, the last sensing introvert type are the ISTPs. These people who are typically hands-on as they try to understand how things work. In the process, they amass vast quantities of knowledge on their choice of subject. They aren't natural writers because they don't have the patience and reflection that writing requires. I did find reports that Ernest Hemingway and Sherlock Holmes were ISTP writers, but an equal number of sources listed them as different or other MBTI types.
Interesting.
So two more contemporary ISTP writers include Miyamoto Musashi, who is the most famous Japanese swordsman of all time, and the Dalai Lama.
I wish I was the most famous Japanese swordsman.
You want to be Mulan, basically?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
When I play as shirtless Shulk in Smash, I scream X-Lax and I always win.
X-Lax?
Oh, you're right. Shulk isn't Japanese. I guess it's another dream never to be realized.
Okay. So anyway, with ISTP writers, it can be a challenge for them to do more than a data dump. And since they tend to write to understand, they often write for an audience of one, which is basically themselves. The recommendation for ISTP writers who want to reach a larger audience is to connect with other writers and gain feedback on how the tone and content is connecting with prospective audiences.
Cool.
So those are all the introverted thinking types. Do you think there are clear ways that the thinking function affects the writing process?
Well, I guess one obvious thing is that introverts on the thinking side of the spectrum are more likely to post about their writing process than the feeling types. I think that's the main takeaway.
I was almost over the pain of our discussion from last month and you had to bring it up again.
Sorry. I didn't mean to bring up those painful memories. But I was wondering if this was because as thinkers, we're more cognizant of our process. We have analyzed the process and determined with logical certainty that it's what makes sense to us. It's interesting to me that there are a large number of pantsers in this group. There's part of me that thinks that outlining everything is what makes sense, and that to give away control, we are opening ourselves up to potential chaos. But maybe that's the point. Despite everything we think, we want to be able to outsmart the chaos.
Well, you all are evil masterminds.
But I'm in... benign mastermind. Now my cat Goomba, he's an evil mastermind.
I should have known you wouldn't be able to get through one whole episode without talking about Goomba. Did you ever figure out his type?
He's actually moved on to the Enneagram at this point.
Of course. Why wouldn't he? That's right. We still need to do that episode on the Enneagram.
Oh, look at you tangenting.
Yeah, I'm the one who's tangenting. You brought up your cat.
I'm so proud of you admitting it, that you're tangenting.
Whatever.
All right. So when we look at all the types of introvert authors, the feelers and the thinkers, everyone, the big introvert party, do we have any takeaways?
Well, I still think it's really interesting to think that what we like to write and how we do it is traced back to our MBTI type. It's still fascinating to me.
Yeah, like you said in our last episode, you like to write rom-coms, and I'll write mushy scenes, but only if I have to.
What do you mean when you have to?
Well, sometimes the mushy scene is needed to move the plot along. I think that's kind of a difference between writing from an emotional core versus an idea core. I start with an idea. Hey, wouldn't it be really cool if someone woke up tomorrow and her teeth all turned to bubblegum? You know, something like that. Really solid, important idea.
What?
But then I build in the plot points next, and finally comes the character arc. And I'll adjust the story to meet the character, but I'm really trying to leave people with a compelling idea. So I'm guessing it's probably almost the opposite for you. How do you write, or what do you start with?
Great writing team, apparently. I usually get a picture of my character doing something, like the whole scene, and it's usually interacting with another person, usually a love interest. And then from there, I kind of... build. But then when I have tried to start with a simple idea, like I'm going to remake this and I'm going to do it in this genre instead, I struggle a lot with the plotting and with how to make that because I haven't connected with the characters yet in my own head. It's like I have to create them first.
Mm-hmm.
But then I still have trouble building the plot around them once I create them. It's weird. I just struggle a lot.
Honestly, I do think that's super fascinating that as an INTJ, I just need to start with an idea. And you as an INFJ...
I get the whole character.
You get the character. If you're going to put a stake in the sand and say, this is where I'm starting, it's just so weird to think that the way our minds work, thinker versus feeler, we're starting from completely different spaces.
Basis.
And how we write the story is completely different, even if we wrote the same genre, which we're unlikely to. But even if we were assigned to write a historical romance featuring somebody with bubblegum for teeth, the process would be completely different.
Yeah, I would be that annoying person that one guy was talking about because I feel my way through it. And then I figure out the logic later.
I'm not so far on the spectrum of like everyone's a cog because the character and the truth of the character... and the actions of the character is the true litmus test. So that is more important than the idea at the end of the day. Because if they're not following something that makes true emotionally and makes sense. And I think this maybe it comes from years and being in marketing and saying, okay, I understand my audience, but I'm going to put my person self in that spot. But so often when I critique people, read their stories, it's like... your character would not do that. Just stop. You're having the sock person who hates sock suddenly put on socks because it's raining outside and you haven't established the fact that his greater fear is water. You know what? So,
well, that's what's interesting to me because that's why it's really for me as a writer, I actually need critiquers because when I get those notes, it forces me to dive deeper.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that my character doesn't like water more than he doesn't like socks.
Right.
But when I was writing it the first time, I might not have gotten that deep.
For me, it's more like I'm reading something and it's clearly they're moving them to the next plot point. To me, that's where I really notice it. because they haven't developed the character. And so it's more those people who don't know who their characters are, but they know what their plot is. And so even though I'm an idea person, everything needs to make sense from a character standpoint. And I will scrap whole plot points if they don't make sense for that character.
You kill your darlings with
impunity. I do, honestly.
Is that the right word, impunity?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. You just kill your darlings.
I put them in terrible socks.
I have a hard time doing that.
But, you know, if you leave them, you can totally know.
No, you can totally see it, yeah.
You can totally.
Well, and it's so funny because I can see a good plot and how it works and how it all fits together. I just can't write one. I struggle with tying my characters into that plot because I'm so caught up in the emotional, mm-hmm. the emotional arc that I struggle with the physical arc that they have to take through the story.
I am usually more bothered by the lack of emotional trueness. Hmm. Than
plot holes. Drive a bus through.
I mean, those bother me, but I think I'm really bothered by the emotional incongruence with the situation.
Well, and I think that makes sense because, like you were saying before, that's why we read. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at social media now too. Like, social media is all about being authentic, and mm-hmm. you can tell when people aren't. What is that quote? From the particular lies the universal. That the more particular you are about those truths, the more universal your story will be understood. Mm-hmm. It seems opposite. It seems like you should be really wide. But no, the more granular you get about it, the more people will engage with you.
Well, that's marketing too, where the novice marketer and, you know, a lot of times executives are like, no, target everyone.
Yes.
And it's like, no, right. you find your audience channels and you target the ones that are your biggest prospects with key messages.
Anyway, all right. So I think there you have it. That's another episode of the Introvert 360. Please subscribe via Apple Podcasts and check out our website at www.introvert360.com for previous episodes, including ones from our old Comm Capers podcast.
We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Please leave a comment or review if you liked us. And I think we're done, unless you have anything else.
What is a Jigglypuff? Who is Bulbasaur and shirtless Shulk? Please tell me that one of those is actually...